Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. Me, Stephen Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and you, 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I'm calling because I'm a Christian. I'm married to a man who's not a believer.
Your ministry is truly a blessing from God.
Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn and I didn't come to judge anybody. So I would say, I don't know where you get it that God doesn't like you because you're gay. Because that's really not the God of the Bible.
Well, stop doing that. It's not getting the result you want. Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. And Henry, you're always talking about the way I dress. You are a fashion plate today, my friend. You look great.
Hey, you know, you shame me so much just by your presence that I have to get my act together.
Yeah, I do have a shaming presence, don't I?
No, not intentionally. Just the, you know, right. You're always looking good. I always look like a tramp, so try to do better today.
Tell Tori, nice shirt. Really good job. Hey, yesterday in one of the breaks, we were talking about one of the red flags of relationships is early fusing. And I think that's something a lot of singles out there wonder about, and once you tell them what it's about, they'll wonder about it. But also married people who got together because of that. Can you talk about that just a little bit? Why that's a red flag, how that happens? But really what you're talking about are people who very quickly, they get together and they decide, oh my goodness, this is the real deal.
This is the one.
And this is the one. Now, okay, go ahead.
Well, actually, I'll leave it at that. It's not only in dating that this happens. It can be in anything.
In a business relationship.
It can be in a business relationship. It can be a new job. It can be the next deal that comes along. It can be the next theology. I mean, there's a process. And the process is... you know, the technical term is called a manic idealization. And what happens is...
I knew just as soon as I saw you.
Right.
There was a look.
There was... It's like I've known you forever.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I can't believe this.
You like fried chicken.
No,
remember that song?
You drink water every day?
Are you kidding me?
I did not know we had that in common.
We're in the same room.
Wow, that's
remember
incredible.
That old song? Wasn't it?
In a piña colada.
Yeah,
and walks in the rain.
Yeah. But anyway, there's this kind of like everything is wonderful, and what happens is that's a fantasy, and fantasy by definition is apart from structure. And so it becomes global, it becomes all-encompassing. And the structure of personality and the structure of character is where reality is. And so people are out of touch with reality. You know, there's always been phrases, love is blind, for example.
Right.
They're out of touch with the realities that bring structure to an experience.
Okay, so...
And so there's an early coming together. They give up time with their friends. They give up, a lot of times, even their value system. They give up other pursuits that they were involved with. They'll quit a job and move across the country, for example, that they've, you know, without... It, the business term's due diligence. No matter how good a deal looks, you do the diligence that is due... the investment. So you're talking about investing your heart. You must be diligent. And that's what we talk about in boundaries in dating, that there is a progressive structure to the way that dating or any other relationship should happen. And the here's the beauty. The process will reveal the answer. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a brain scientist.
And due diligence in dating requires time. At least, we say at least a year before you would know whether this person might be right.
It takes that long to check out, like, the every state's jail records, for example.
Yeah. All right.
It's a little faster now.
And when one
internet.
Of when
With
one
does search,
when one of these people blows it in the fantasy, does the fantasy cover up the
Oh, well,
often.
Yeah. Oh, just overlooked.
That was a one-time thing.
Isn't he exciting? No, he's irresponsible.
We'll be back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here. We have a book. You know, if you have a son and you'd like to prepare him for a world full of pornography and lust and all the things that are out there, which are perversions of the great things like, you know, men and women having sex together in marriage and stuff like that. We've got Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle, and you just read it together. That's all you have to do. The work is done. You don't have to feel uncomfortable. Fred Stoker and I wrote it. You'll love it. That is our resource this week. Do's and don'ts for helping someone with an eating disorder. Those are free. Now, let's go to Taylor. Taylor's calling us all the way from Rialto, California. KSGN's the station. Taylor, how you doing?
Good morning to you gentlemen over there.
Did you say good morning or God morning?
I said God morning.
There you go. A little twist
morning.
On good to yes, God. There
yes,
you go.
Yes.
Well, Jesus afternoon to you, Taylor.
I forgot it's morning for us here.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I was trying to get through on yesterday, and it was like a continuation on the questions that the ladies were asking.
Mm-hmm.
And you being gentlemen, I don't know.
Or at least men.
Okay, yes, you men. You being mm-hmm. men really don't understand. Like, I'll give you for instance.
Okay.
Like, in the middle of the night, my husband decides to wake up.
Yeah.
And so when he wakes
they
up,
do that,
he
don't
assumes
they?
That I'm woke, and he starts talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes, I don't know, then I wake up, and he's hollering at the top of his lungs my name. I'm like, I'm asleep. Why are you waking me up? And so it's like you're interrupting my sleep, and like the ladies are saying, we worked all day. We have children.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go to sleep until late, and then you're waking me up.
Yeah. Which is what we said yesterday.
Exactly. So my question to you is, like the lady said, are we supposed to just do it when they want to do it?
You
or
mean talk to somebody when they're talking at the top of their lungs?
Well, no, they're waking you up to wake you up. And
right.
So they're like hollering.
Because
then they ask you the question, are you asleep?
But wait a minute, because they want to just talk to you and ask how your day was?
Not just that.
What do they want?
They want their
need peanut butter
met.
Sandwich?
Yes, they want the peanut butter sandwich and everything met.
They want
at
sex.
At that particular time, yes. The goodies.
In the middle of the night.
You can say sex on
this night.
Taylor, you can say sex on the show.
Sex, okay.
Yeah,
they want sex, okay. And then they ask you the question, where you sleep?
You know, you might want to say he instead of they, because if you keep saying they, we're going to get the wrong impression, Taylor.
Okay, my husband.
Okay.
My
so he wakes you up in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And you're so fast asleep that he has to yell at you. And then he says, I'd like to have a little sex here.
Yes. And with the question, are you asleep?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I was asleep.
Uh-huh. And so your question for us is?
My question for you is, at any given time when he feels as though his desires should be met, are we supposed to just be ready? And if my mind is not there, like the other lady was saying,
mm-hmm.
I'm not, my mind is not there.
Yeah.
Okay, before we answer that, what's your answer to that?
It would have been a better way that he could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as waking me up, he could have, like, rubbed my back, or he could have...
So is that a no, or a yes, or a maybe?
If he did it correctly, then more than likely he could have had his sexual desires met. You understand
what
I'm
saying?
Did
you tell him that?
Yes, but most of the time, most men don't do that. They just assume in their mind, once they get something in their mind.
All these men, Taylor?
Excuse me. My husband gets in his mind that when he wants something, it's okay. And just do it. He doesn't think it out.
And this is probably the only area of life that's true in, right?
No.
No, it's not. No.
Right. So, Taylor, first of all, we're not talking about sex, are we? We're
not talking about sex.
Then what are we talking about?
We're talking about a dynamic between you and your husband that you said is in lots of areas of life, not just sex.
It's an insensitivity.
Right.
Right. And
you.
So you're going to do better at resolving this if you not make this about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you make it about the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to him about, you know, there's a lot of times in life where I don't feel like I have a say-so in what we do. And what we do is a we thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk about how we decide what we do.
Right.
Where maybe we request things of each other nicely instead of just assume the other's going to do it.
I'm in agreement with that.
That's great.
And we've been to counseling and different things. And so we've been through the different steps that it takes. Okay?
No, it's not okay. Because when you tell me you've been through the different steps that it takes, and yet you've still got this problem, some step didn't take. Right?
Well, the problem hasn't taken, not for me, but for my significant other. For my significant other.
Yeah, but what you said is you've been through the process and the steps that it takes to resolve that, and it hadn't resolved it, so I just have to question the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they work.
You know, you wouldn't still have the problem, right? So what didn't work?
So what?
How can we help you?
As far as being respectful, like if I'm seeing you resting, I'm not just going to just...
No, that's not what we're asking, Taylor. What we're asking is if you've thought enough about this control dynamic, or as Steve called it, an insensitivity dynamic, to take this marriage to counseling,
mm-hmm.
what was said to do different, and what was changed in the process, and then what broke down? Don't go back to he wakes me up.
Oh, for us to communicate exactly what you just said, for us to communicate.
And what happened when the counselor said, let's do that?
As most, just smile and laugh. Basically, just smile and just laugh.
Then that's a problem.
Well, then don't say we took the steps it takes to resolve this, because that hasn't happened.
Because resolving it means you leave the counselor's office with a plan of how you're going to communicate with each other when insensitivity occurs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And here's why.
And with a plan of what happens when that plan fails.
Yes. But here's why it's important. What Henry's saying is that If he is insensitive about helping you with the dishes, that doesn't have a lot of threat to his identity, and he doesn't feel a need to defend his uncaring dishwashing. But when you pick sex as the issue, many men, that's all they are, or relate to. And they think that it's an attack on them as a man.
Right, so that is supposed to, are you telling me, so that is supposed to be okay because they are a man?
Wait a minute. Stop, Taylor. Just stop. I'm not going to stand for this. Hold on a second. Stop. Is that how you, do you do that to him?
Do what?
What you just did.
Oh, that's called having a conversation, gentlemen.
That is not even close to a conversation.
You weren't listening to anything we said, Taylor.
You jumped.
If that's what you do to your husband, then before you even talk about what he does to you,
mm-hmm.
you have got to learn to listen to what somebody's saying and respond to what they've said and not value add to that all the things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not what Steve said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're going to resolve conflict in a marriage, listening would be the first step.
So can I talk now? I understand that, and I respect everything that you are saying.
Okay.
But when you say do that, no, I don't do that to him, but that's a form of conversation, and that's what I think I can relate to the other ladies when they call in. Okay, when I said you gentlemen, I can relate to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then you, with all respect, what you're telling me, I'm receiving that and I'm digesting all of that.
I was just making the point that
okay.
that pick an issue, many issues, other than like what Henry was saying, where you just pick that one sex issue. Which
but that's the only problem that we're having in our marriage.
But that's not what you said earlier.
You didn't say that, Taylor.
Mm-hmm. I said, does this happen in other areas? And you said yes.
Oh, but you know, I understood what you were asking and the question and everything like that, but I just dismissed that because those issues can be resolved. The thing I was calling about was, you know, just waking me up at
okay,
any
well,
given
let it,
time.
Let us give you the steps then okay. that you said we've already done all the steps, and I'll
okay.
give them to you again because I know one of them that you're not doing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here they are. What I would say to him is, look, I want you to ask me or to approach me or to touch me or whatever it is in these certain ways and be very specific. And that really helps me to feel close to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And will you agree to do that? And if he says yes, then you know, obviously you solve the problem.
Okay? Okay?
And I don't want you to, when I'm sleeping, to yell at me and to make demands and this, that, and the other. Will you do that? And if he says yes, fine. But if he does it again, then what I would do is say, look, I ask you to not do that to me, and you did it again, and so I don't know anything else to do except one of us will have to sleep somewhere else until
okay.
you cannot wake me up.
Okay.
Okay?
That's acceptable. And I receive all of that.
Okay.
Thank you, and you make a wonderful day.
All
thanks,
right,
Taylor.
Taylor, we're glad that you called, and I want you to hold on. I want to send you a copy of Boundaries in Marriage. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to send you Every Woman's Desire. I hope he'll read that. It'll be a way that he would see a need to connect with you. And for all you guys waking your wives up in the middle of the night, some of them might enjoy that.
And what Taylor shows is that it may make a difference how you're waking them
yes.
up.
Yes. A little rub on the neck always is better than
a...
Are you awake?
yeah. Well, that's not an aphrodisiac, is it?
No.
There's a proverb about the, you know, the, yeah. the loud voice in the morning.
In the
being
morning.
Awakened about is like a, what is that, like a clanging cymbal mm-hmm. or something. Anyway, but I've got another point. Because she did do something that I think is a very common thing. You said, I don't even remember exactly what it was, but you said, you know, do A, B, or C, and she says,
so
what you're saying mm-hmm. is I've got to let him do whatever, and there's yeah. nothing in what you said that even remotely, you know, said that. And one of the big things in communication is when we take our own fears or our own hurt or our own experience and add that to what somebody is saying,
yeah.
and the whole process just breaks down.
Right.
And it happens when the other person disagrees, basically. I
yeah.
mean, that's when you see it more. When somebody says, I don't agree with your opinion, then they say, you hate me, you don't want the relationship anymore, and you know something else is going on there.
Right. Okay, now let's get down to the one of the basics of why marriages work, and that's when both parties are on each other's side. You're on the other person's team. Mm-hmm. You're for them. And if you're on the other person's team, you might have a sexual urge in the night, but you're not going to wake them up in the middle of the night. Or you might want to jump to a conclusion and be heads up on the conversation,
right.
but you don't do that because you're for the other person.
Now, let me take your point and elevate that to Olympic levels of what a marriage could be.
Okay.
Well, you can only do that every 4 years. So if you want.
6 years. Is it four?
It's okay. four.
It's four. Yeah, four.
Then, and your point probably is good day to day. So
okay.
Minute to minute.
Olympian level.
is be... Feel in your heart and act toward and be toward that person that you are for them, even when they're mad at you and don't like you.
Mm.
And sustain that all the way through the mad. Mm. Sustain it all the way through the problem and come out on the other side in this reconciliation.
Mm. Mm. Hey, John, you made a big error there.
What's that?
That's not Olympian. Olympian is done by humans. That's divine. That's what God does.
So true.
That's what God,
That's
God does.
What God does. So true.
And the Bible says, don't fall short of the grace of God.
Well, you know, just in dealing in some of my therapy, I was looking at people I thought I forgave, but I only tolerated.
Mm.
Big difference. Mm-hmm. And one is what people can do, and the other is what the divine steps in and helps mm-hmm. you do. A lot of times we think we're doing well and stuff, but there's this whole other God standard mm-hmm. that we can get if we really put Jesus first, make him first in our lives.
It does take the work of grace, because our tendency is when they're mad or they don't get it or mm-hmm. they're attacking, then we play tit for tat and withdraw love and all that, rather than staying right there, keeping mm-hmm. firm, staying with the connection. It takes a work of grace.
And what a great love that is. I mean, some people, they're married to a pistol. I mean, a firecracker. And they love that about that person, mm-hmm. even when, they're angry and disappointed and stuff. And they want to bring them in rather than shove them aside or push them away. That is true love.
Soft answer turns away mm-hmm. wrath, is what mm-hmm. Proverbs says.
Let's go to Hank in Monroe, Louisiana. He listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Hank. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Real quick question is a situation when we're in a small country church. It's declining in numbers over the past 6 years. We're very involved in this as far as the activities we do.
Yeah.
We both go through times where we want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But through commitment and stubbornness, we've stayed. Now my wife has gotten to the point where she doesn't want to attend at all.
Okay.
She doesn't want to what?
She doesn't want to attend at all.
Exactly. At times I do the music directory in Sunday school.
Right.
So I'm caught in a situation to, as the husband, as the father of the children, what do I do?
We got some great advice for you. If you'll hold on, we're going to take a break and try to get in a better area there. You got the XM. You're obviously in the car on the cell phone. We'll be back.
This classic program from the archives of New Life Live will be right back after this short break. Today's show has been pre-recorded. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. We're talking to Hank from Monroe, Louisiana.
There you go. Thank you, guys.
Well, Hank, so your wife has finally said, there's something better. I want to do something other than this church. You guys have gone back and forth. Now she's making a pretty big stand.
What does she not like, Hank?
The minister. We're concerned because it is a small church. We have limited activities for the children to do.
Small churches, on the other hand, often have a lot more intimacy and family, feel. So that's why a lot of people are in small churches, too.
That's one thing that I really enjoy about this church.
How old are your kids?
We have one fixing to be 14 and one fixing to be a 10. Hmm. We've been going, 6 years.
I have a bias. And, you know, John and I were talking at the break about this. He's got a great plan for how to handle it. But my
bias is more interesting.
My bias is just that a lot of church decisions need to be based on what's best for the kids,
okay,
especially at those kind of ages, because you need everything you can going for these kids.
I agree. And exactly. I tell you,
the church I'm going to right now, I would not go to that church if my daughter didn't like the youth group and just thought the youth pastor was cooler than Cody Banks' secret agent. You know, I mean, it's just so that's my bias. And then you add to that the dissatisfaction that your wife has, and it's kind of adding up here on the side of the sheet that says, why don't we look at something else for the sake of everybody? But I appreciate your commitment to that church and dedication. But John has a great way to handle this.
Well, but you raised another question that's important, Steve. How are your kids' needs being met there?
Sometimes minimum. They do have a youth pastor that she's been blessed, and she's really working with the children. But so far as activities, I personally would like to see them do more activities.
Well, one of the diagnostic questions there is a group forming that your kid really identifies with and feels a part of, and that becomes the force of the peer group, you know, towards good things?
Considering that my daughter is female, I would have to say no.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, there's limited females. I would like for her to have a fellowship with a Christian young ladies.
Mm-hmm. There's not other. And you're saying there's not other girls her age?
Correct. Well, there. Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Well, that's something to be concerned about.
All right, Hank.
Because the peer group's going to have a lot to do with who she becomes.
Yeah, I think this is going to ultimately come down to an analysis.
Okay.
Where right now, you know, your wife has certain, you know, feelings and opinions about this, but in any kind, this is sort of like the, do we need to move to take the better job? Do we need to go private school or homeschool or public school? It's that kind of thing. I think that it would be good to sit down with all four of you and have a breakdown of what we want a church to be for us, and what does God say a church is supposed to do? What needs does it meet, and how can we meet needs and all that? And everybody kind of, it's like any decision. Everybody kind of designed their own ideal church and then figure out if this is in the okay range for those things or if we need to go. But I wouldn't base it based on because people don't like it or don't want it. I'd base it on what's best for the family. And then you're kind of doing the leadership thing as well as deferring to their very real needs.
Right. She has a strong opinion that the preacher just does not move her.
Yeah.
Well,
does not, you know, just does not move her. You know, and again, this is a new preacher. We've been extremely active.
Right. That's part of it. I would put that into your analysis. Preacher. You know, it needs to be a preacher that, and I need to be open to being moved by different styles. I don't want to demand that preachers, you know, have to have a certain style to move me. Maybe there's an immovable part in me, you know, take the beam out of our eye, but I'll break it down.
My concern is that God put me there to do something, and if I leave,
and,
am I not fulfilling
and
what
that's
God
part of it, too.
Yeah.
That's part
so
of it, too.
So you evaluate
this,
that.
This is how you do that.
Okay. All right.
Hank, hope that that's helpful to you.
Yes, sir.
Let me send you Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. He's 10, right?
He's 10, yes.
Hey, this is going to be perfect for him.
Outstanding.
All right, you hold on. I'll send that to you. It's our resource this week, Honest Conversations about Sexual Integrity. I'll tell you, that church decision for those kids, that's a big one. Huge. And, you know, in junior high, I think that's where you keep them or you lose them so often.
That's huge.
And it's important.
Well, but we got to look at also about all those little churches out there that don't have a lot of that and how much good they're doing for all their communities and, you know, the things they're providing to. There's kind of the other end of it.
But my thought is that those churches, those little churches, because we went to one out in Steep Hollow, Texas, they can do great things for the youth if they've got more adults involved, if they're working with other little churches in the area. But just to say, okay, well, our little church is little, and all we're going to do is have a Bible study on Sunday.
Right.
You can do more than that.
Yeah, it might be good to ask the kids, how do you like it here?
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to get the feedback from the people that have to go there a couple hours a day.
Some of my most spiritual experiences were those hay rides that we took in the country from those small. Well, okay, it wasn't spiritual, but it was fun. All right, let's go
But you know what? Steve's it gets associated with church.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a huge thing for kids. Mm-hmm. If fun and life and relationships and all that comes kind of under the umbrella of your right. spiritual community, then they find out that fun and life is not devoid, you know, exactly. of people that believe in God.
Well, that's why I didn't write the book, I Kissed Hayrides Goodbye. I just felt like that it was part of it.
Do you think you've fallen off the wagon, Steve?
I think I have a few times. Blair from Baltimore, Maryland, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Blair, would you just hold on a second? We've got to go to a break, but I wanted you to know that we love you, we care about you, and we're going to talk to you here, okay?
Great, thanks.
All right, you're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Do's and don'ts for helping someone with an eating disorder. Those are our free gifts to you. The tips, you can get them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Today's program has been pre-recorded. If you'd like to make a donation or register for an upcoming workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. I was folding clothes this morning watching Dr. Phil there on the Today Show talking about weight loss and things like that. You know what? He says the same stuff we say at Lose It for Life Institute. But you know what? We've got Christ as a foundation, and it begins with surrender to God. It's a spiritual experience, a transformation. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You will love this if you've been struggling with your weight. Please call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you about that. Let's go to Blair in Baltimore, Maryland, W-I-T-H. Hey, Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you today? What's going on in your life?
Well, first, just let me start out by saying how much of a blessing you guys are just in my life alone. I just read through Every Man's Battle, and it was just great. It opened up my eyes to so many things that I never really thought about before. And I was able to share my struggles with my wife. And
how'd she receive that?
You know, like pretty much like any other woman would when they first heard about that, but. She's doing okay with it now. She struggles a little bit, but
were they severe struggles that you confessed to her? Or, you know, I mean, there's a whole spectrum of how much a woman has to deal with sometimes. All the way from, you know, some men are out having multiple affairs to some just admit to fantasies in their head and everything in between.
Well, we got married 3 years ago, and for the first year, I struggled a lot with, like, movies and stuff like that. You know, I never like had an affair or anything. I love my wife. I think she's so beautiful. But the main reason that I'm calling is because of her. We got the Every Woman's Battle book for her.
Yeah.
And she read it, and she's opened up a lot more towards me. And
how'd that make you feel?
Well, that's why I'm calling, because I don't really know how to handle it, because it's weird. She's so pretty. Like, I think she's just so beautiful, and her whole life she's had this insecurity of not being pretty. So all of her friends would get all the guys and everything, and so now it's so conscious in her every thought, that because she has this problem where she's like not addicted, but she feels like it could be an addiction, to where she wants men to just find her attractive. Like, when she walks into a room, she wants every man to be thinking that she's so pretty. Mm. And like, what if she's like driving in her car, and she'll just look to see if a guy's looking at her, you know? And like,
and she owns this as a problem.
Yeah, that
she knows that this is a problem.
Is it that you notice it, or is it that she says, "I do this"?
She says, "I do this."
You know what? First of all, I want to say maybe one of the most honest conversations two people can have in a marriage is what is her admitting that to you. I mean,
that's cool.
That's fantastic, but it doesn't make it easy,
right?
So right. What is your question for us then?
Well, she's actually listening to you. She's listening at work, and she just wants to know, like, what to do, like, how to stop it, because she knows that it hinders our relationship, and she just wants to stop it.
Yeah, Blair, I was going to say to you something that I think I'm glad she's listening, because it's good for her as well. The thing I was going to say to you is that from your side, the best thing that you can do is just let her know in very many ways what you do feel about how wonderful and beautiful she is and how you love her and all of that. But at the same time, what I was going to tell you to let her know is that you're loving her and seeing her as beautiful and all of that is certainly a piece of the answer, because she does need to be valued by you. But you also have to understand that this is a problem that lives inside of her soul that you will never be able to fix by your own attention for her. That's going to do a couple of things. One, it's going to give you empathy for her for what you can't, you know, change in her. Secondly, it's going to help you to help her take ownership of that, to figure out some other answers besides your love for this. And thirdly, it's going to, frankly, probably take some pressure off of you, because if you feel responsible for fixing that totally, you can't. And then I would say to her that you've got to realize that this sickness is never going to be fixed by, you know, men's romantic attention to you and idealizing. What this is it comes from when little girls are not valued in some way for all of who they are by significant non-sexual men in their lives, which starts with dad and others. And that's why people never get cured by a sexual addiction, because they're meeting childhood needs through romantic sexual ways, and children are not... that's not the way they're supposed to be loved. And so that's why you have to get in non-sexualized contexts and be valued and loved for who you are. And then the little girl inside will begin to feel like she's okay, no matter what she looks like. And then you can take the little okay girl into your adult body, and all that will start to work. Mm.
So she needs to go through a process of healing beyond what you can provide for her, would be the headline
here. And Blair, she may find that she... maybe attributes power to men, and so that's where she gets feels so attracted to them, or where she thinks that they see her as a better person than she may feel about herself, or whatever. That's what you've got to do some digging or help her with, but it's going to have to come not only from, like Henry said, from your love and support, But she's got to go through a process in some other way, a support group, a help counselor, a pastor that knows about these issues. But what we've seen, Blair, and this is the good part of this, is if she has that attitude, and hi, whatever your name is.
We're talking about you.
We're talking about you. Is that it's really, really, really resolvable.
Yeah, let's call her Blair's goddess.
Yeah.
Because that's what Blair thinks she is. And a little prayer Blair's goddess could say every time she walks into a place and feels that urge is, God, please show me what this need is about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one other thing, and you kind of touched on it, but I want to really stress this, and that is, he needs to appreciate her beauty, and that is a great thing. But if you will really get into her, Blair, and elevate these other parts of her, she may have only seen herself as an object or a beautiful person, but elevate those parts of her soul, the womanhood beyond
in
what
her
she looks like, the character, things like that. Elevate that in importance to you, and you might also see a decline in her need to be affirmed for external things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that'll help out with, because like she's been going through this for her whole life.
Yeah.
She's 24 right now. Probably since she was like 13 or 14.
Great time for a woman to fix this is 24 years of age. Great
time.
She should
get a calculator and figure out if she fixes this now, how many hours throughout the next 60 years she'll save reading romance novels and soap operas.
Have you read Every
she'll
Woman's...
She'll get a whole life.
Yeah, that's right. Blair, did you read Every Woman's Battle?
I didn't read Every Woman's Battle. I read Every Woman's Desire because this past summer she went home.
Well, just do her a favor and read the book that she read.
Okay.
So you understand her better. All right. Glad you called, and we'll send you a copy of John and Henry's book, God Will Make a Way, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do, and that'll be a great book for you guys just to read together.
Henry? And maybe for by herself, Changes That Heal
Changes
would
that
show
heal.
Her those kind of developmental issues we talked about.
Okay. Now, Henry... we talk about when a man doesn't affirm a man as a man, many times he goes out and seeks woman to heal his soul rather than, you know, being...
Like the father wound.
Right. Mm-hmm. It seems like a man's identity is so established by a man. But it also seems like the little girl's identity is so established by the male influence, too. And yet, the man tends to be the most disengaged guy in raising the kids. Explain that a little bit.
Well, I think probably, you know, the male role developmentally is true in some of the contexts that we talk about on certain calls. But actually, you know, it's for sure both. And what happens generally is different for a man and a woman because a man really has a two-step dance he's got to do. He starts out... you know, bonding to a mothering object, usually mom or caretaker. And then he's got to separate from his security object of love and bonding to identify about what it means to be a man with somebody else.
Right.
And so there's all of these questions that men have sometimes about their own power if dad wasn't there to do that. On the other hand, the woman has to separate from the woman that she's attached to become autonomous and still be loved, and that's why women have autonomy struggles.
Mm. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, the Everyman's Battle Workshop. You know, we're having 80 guys show up at these things, and if you think you're the only one, no. This can provide hope, health, and healing for your soul. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about that. We talked about it last week and the weeks past, but their book, Making Small Groups Work, would you get this if you're involved with the church? It's a fantastic book. Also, our resource this week, Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. The reason so many men are stuck is because no dad helped them, and you can help your son with Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. It's the latest book in the Every Man series. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's talk to Nick, who's calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm doing fine, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, if I could just have your opinion on, in regards to a divorce where I'm the defendant, and I was sued for the divorce for irreconcilable differences.
Your wife filed for divorce.
Right.
Why?
And those were the grounds, irreconcilable differences.
But what was the problem in the marriage?
Well, she had initially stated she wanted out, and she just kind of followed it through.
Asking Nick is, why did she want out?
Yeah.
You know, I really couldn't answer that after 17 years of being married with her and having five children.
That's an interesting statement.
That would be a really good question, I think, to call her up and ask her.
No, we don't communicate that much. It's been almost 9 years.
Okay, so what's your question for us, then?
She left 9 years ago?
Well, yeah.
She moved out of the home 9 years
ago? No, I had to leave. In Massachusetts, you have to leave when they file. So I've made every attempt to reconcile.
Now, I'm just trying to get the timeline straight to understand what your question is.
It's been 9 years.
You moved out 9 years ago?
That's right.
All right. Okay. So what's your question?
My question is if what Paul talks about in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, I believe her status would be an unbelieving spouse.
Actually, it's 1 Corinthians.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
And if that is the case, and I'm not bound to her according to what Paul says, now it's been 9 years that I've been without anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Am I free to marry someone? But if I'm not, am I looking at being an adulterer?
Well, it's pretty clear that if she has had a sexual relationship with someone else, you're completely free. If she was not a believer and she abandoned you, you are completely free.
For your faith, if she abandoned you for your faith.
But is that my thought? I mean, if I'm expressing that to someone that I'm dating, and can I? It's not a rational thing that I'm saying. I'm trying to understand it. Is it a form of abandonment, even though it's not biblically based divorce?
You mean, can you start dating, and even though you're not divorced yet?
No, I'm divorced. It's been 9 years. But what I'm saying is it's not a biblically based divorce because it's not one of the criteria that Christ talked about.
She filed for divorce.
That's right.
She divorced you.
Right.
Is she married?
No.
Is she dating?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, it's hard to know unless we kind of know more details. Did she say she was a believer and didn't want to be with you because of your commitment and your dedication to the faith? And she's out of there?
Well, I could give you one quick summation. Don't give me that God stuff.
Well, I don't know if that's a summation. That would be a piece of what she says. But did she leave you for your faith is kind of the question. I think that's what you would have to resolve.
Right. No, that wouldn't have been the case.
Yeah. Did we answer it?
I think you did. You want me to give you what I think you said?
Well, I don't. Yeah, sure. That'd be great. Because all we know to say is what we think the Bible says, and what Jesus said was, you know, that the grounds that he talked about were unfaithfulness, and Paul says that abandonment for the faith is another ground.
They're both unfaithfulness.
Right. They're both
right.
Unfaithfulness.
Two forms of it.
It's been a struggle to, you know, to seek God's will about it, but I appreciate you taking my call.
It's a tough situation.
Very hard.
And, thank you.
And I think a lot of people would say, you know, what they do with that, kind of, because you have to sort of think about the timeline is, and then when that other person starts going out and they remarry, they have sexual relationships out there, that's the unfaithfulness that sort of equals, you know, the unfaithfulness that he talked about. So there's a lot of different views on that.
Right.
But the big picture that Jesus was saying there was he was talking about the way, the context was the way that marriage is supposed to be something that people commit to and not put asunder. And his message there, I don't think was you know, primarily sort of what to do when things go bad. His message was how strong he was committed to marriage, so much so the disciples said, gosh, if that's the case, who would get married? Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, that's kind of the point.
And
it's a very strong commitment.
And we want all of you who have been through a divorce and are struggling with all these issues to know we feel for you. These are tough, tough areas to tread, and hope you just seek God's best. I mean, that's the answer, is trying to seek what God wants for your life, the best for your life according to His Word.
And the best might be a life, a very rich single life, for example, where there's community and support and meaning and ways to give back of your talents and healing.
That's right.
And to say, well, I don't have anyone, which, you know, when you mentioned that, Nick, you might want to look at what that means. Yeah. Does that mean I don't have anyone I'd like that, or I don't have a life that is good if I don't have anyone?
Yeah. Okay, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If we can help you, we'll send you do's and don'ts for helping someone with an eating disorder. We've got the resource, Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. It's the book that followed Every Man, God's Man. If you haven't picked that up, you can get that at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And as you know, we're a listener-supported ministry, and oh, do we need your support. We hope that maybe today you'll decide for the first time to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and become a supporter. Don't forget about TV.NewLife also. You know, we still have those 1,300 amazing programs there that could benefit you greatly. And everywhere I go, somebody's telling me about some one of those programs that just changed everything for them. So be sure and go there, TV.NewLife.com. 1,300 videos on the topics, the subjects that you're most interested in. And, you know, we haven't talked about it, but Club New Life is a great thing to be a part of, and you get all sorts of benefits and goodies and discounts, and we send you the newsletter and a tape every month just designed for you. It really is a great way to support this ministry. So call us, or if you want to know where we're going to be speaking, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know, it's our dream that somebody would be listening and decide to do something different today, that you would do the right thing in your life, the next right thing. I hope that you'll find the courage to do that today. We love you. We miss you. We care about you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the Archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.